What up, people? Nick's Corner
What's
is back.
happening? What is happening, ladies and gentlemen? Back in the building, back in effect. Once again, it's on. It's your
Let's
main
go.
man, Coach Fox.
Danny B, Nick's Corner podcast.
Bing,
Back
bing, bing,
season two.
bing.
I know we don't got the sound effects, man. StreamYard only lets you do so much.
Listen, man, go back to Police Academy back in the day, yo. I'll be the dude that do all the sound effects to Kung Fu. Got
Yo,
you.
and we know how you are with the sound effects, bro. That's for sure.
Oh, gravy, baby.
Let's hit that intro, man.
Bang.
Feel the city in the jersey when you wear it.
When you wear it.
Orange and blue, coursing through your whole spirit.
Your whole spirit.
That bright lights be hotter than a sauna.
A sauna.
This that Knicks music. This that Knicks corner.
Yes, sir. We back.
Back in effect. So, Danny Bizzle in the Trizzle, what you want to chop it up about, my man?
Man, well, we got so many topics, man. The last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of hot buttons, right, with the Knicks fan base. I feel like the biggest one has been Tibbs, right? I feel like he's definitely under the microscope for the fan base. You know what I'm
Man,
saying? One of the hot topics.
I feel like that's a disservice to the problem. But it is what it is. That's what the fans want to talk about.
I feel you. So you know what? Let's hop right into the first segment, man.
Bang, bang.
To be or not to be Coach Tibbs, right? So how are you feeling about him just in general, right? Obviously the bulk of the fan base, I feel like, is axe Tibbs. Like, let's move on. Let's just turn it over and
Yep,
keep moving
let's do the
forward from
same
there.
thing we've always done to lead the same ways that we've always been. At the end of the day, it's the same old thing.
Right.
Our first instinct is to fire Tibbs or fire whoever coach at the time. The minute things go rocky, let's jettison everything. He ain't the guy. Who is ever gonna be the guy? Who is ever gonna have enough time to actually make a real difference?
Right, because I mean that's always going to be the case, you know.
Always.
Knicks
I
fans are
don't care
definitely
if you're the
impatient.
most Hall of Fame coach in the world. If you have a rocky season here, we want you fired.
That's how it goes, man. And that's one narrative that comes up a lot is
All the
the
time.
fan base is just so quick to
Fire,
turn
fire,
over.
fire. Trade,
What have you
trade,
done for me
trade.
lately?
Fire, fire, fire.
Yep. It's that what have you done for me lately mentality, you know what I'm
And
saying?
it's whack, to be perfectly honest,
We're
but
not patient enough. I'm with you on that.
I mean, we act like this front office and Tibbs have been here throughout the whole melee, and it's time for them to do something. Like, will y'all relax? We got a glimmer of hope last season. The front office did the coach a disservice. The coach did the team a disservice. The team is doing everyone a disservice. There's a lot of disservice going on around. It's my humble opinion.
I appreciate that, man. I totally understand that. I feel like that's a big thing too. You know, in the last 5, 6 years, I feel like it's just been coach after coach after coach after coach. You know, you could
And
even go further
rebuild
back,
after
of course.
rebuild after rebuild after rebuild.
And we're really not giving it a long enough shot for a rebuild. And I'm talking bird's eye view right now. I'm not talking about the nitty-gritty details, but
Correct.
in general, you know what I'm saying? Are we really giving enough patience to a rebuild in full, which is not just 1, 2 seasons? It's a 3 to 4 or 5 season,
Right.
tenure,
A
right? That
full
sets you up,
tenure.
right? That sets you up, you know, with a foundation that you could build upon in the future.
I honestly don't think this fan base is willing to go through ups and downs. It's like once we see, because I'm a part of the fan base, so I can't say they. Once we see promise in either the coach, a player, or a young player, that's what we hold on to. And we jettison the thought of the scope of the entire team in a lot of cases and what every moving part has to do with everything when we see one or two parts that we like or that are working. And that usually goes to the quote unquote youth. I'm not the banana in the tailpipe. I've seen, you know, Beverly Hills Cop too many times. It's every year a new name is the quote unquote youth. Grimes is playing major minutes. And any and every time I bring that up, they say, oh, he's only playing because RJ's out. He was playing with RJ. It's Tibbs is playing youth. Grimes has bust his tail all season and has shown promise on the defensive end and can hit that three. He's got value on the court. Now, I will argue that Tibbs is playing Randall way too damn much and should be playing Obi at least 15 minutes. At least. I will argue that, no doubt. I agree with that. It doesn't mean Randall needs to be traded or he can't work with Obi. And while... See, Obi to me right now is in the Kevin Knox conundrum. You see promise on offense, but he's still lagging on D.
Right.
He gets beat. Or he's not in the right place for a rebound a lot of times and things like that. And for a cat his size, you know, we shouldn't be having a rebounding problem in the second unit. So there are things he needs to clean up, but arguably he needs more time on the court to really get his feel and get used to that.
Right.
So I can literally argue both sides when it comes to Obi and his minutes with Tibbs. IQ is in a weird place, and I don't know what he needs to do to get out of that funk that he's in. But last year, he fell in love with taking Trae Young shots. Some of them are falling, so it was allowed. This year, they're not falling the same. And sometimes I feel like he will shoot that shot at an inappropriate time in the flow of the offense.
And he does. Every game is at least one.
One or two.
Yep, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's noticeable. I mean, again, it's a symphony of cacophony, if you will.
I like that.
You know what I mean? It's bad rotations or not taking the rotation when you need it, because I've seen him bring in the youth and sometimes take them out too quick or leave them in too long.
Right.
The Portland game, I felt like he left them in too long. And by the time the starters got into it, it was kind of too late. They already had the momentum and that game was snatched away from us.
Now, that's been one of my gripes with Tibbs, because I think we could all say everybody's been frustrated with him to one degree or for one reason or another. Right. Exactly. Right. So that's been one of my gripes, is just the way that he plays his substitutions lately, leaving guys in a little bit too long. He's doing the same things in terms of momentum, right? I feel like when the momentum shifts and the other team gets some coming their way and they start chipping away at whatever lead that we had, I feel like he takes so much longer to call a timeout and stop that momentum than he did last year. Last year, it was he sees that momentum coming, he stopped right away.
Yep.
This year, he's letting it go so much longer to where it's about 2 points away from being tied, or the other team ties it or takes the lead. And it's like, it's too late at this point. You know what I mean? Right. Like that momentum, you gotta nip it in the butt right away. Right. And that's just been a big pain for me lately, at least, you know, but there's plenty of other things, you know, I mean, certain plays he sets up with the inbounds, right. Lineups themselves, just substitutions, keeping his rotations to 9 to 10 guys when you got at least another 2 to 3 other on the bench, arguably that could contribute.
I feel now that I don't necessarily knock his tight rotation. I just wish he would take certain people out of it at this point.
That's what I'm saying. Open it up in the flow of a game, right?
I mean, listen, I don't mind if he keeps it at 9. Just stop playing Kemba and put Fournier in the second unit.
Right.
Now Go ahead, Danny.
No, keep going, man.
No, because I want to know where you are on this topic.
I was just going to say, so we've been talking about that a lot. I remember even mentioning that last season, you know, like as we were coming into the season, we'd rather had seen Fournier come off the bench. And
I thought he was until I saw the contract.
Yeah.
To me, he's a bench player.
Right. I'm with you on that. And listen, I was a big proponent of giving it time for Fournier to find and come into his own. And it's just that it took so much longer than everybody thought for him to get comfortable with everything.
He's flowing now. And his defense has picked up a little bit. A
little bit.
But I still think he's a spark like Burks off the bench. Mm-hmm. I think. I agreed with Tibbs on the Kemba benching, whether I understood it at the time or not. And then after seeing it play out, and even though a lot of the fan base was yelling at Tibbs to play Kemba, and then when they finally did, a couple of games it was great, and it was like, see, Tibbs is crazy, and then a couple more, and then a couple of DMPs, and then a few more DMPs, and then a few more 7-8 point games. I appreciate Kemba Walker, I do. And he's homegrown, and it's all due respect. But you should be backing up Derrick Rose right now. No disrespect. But this is not a time to see what we have with that anymore. It's time for the front office to realize their mistake. Own it. You know what I mean? Because I feel like part of the disconnect between the front office and Tibbs this season has been the personnel they brought in. And they weren't necessarily guys that, you know, that we needed or Tibbs needed.
Right.
Tibbs needed a point guard that had some explosion but had some defense and could like play, you know, multiple games in a row. So that they could get chemistry with Randall and get him going and all of that. And then with Randall, I do believe to start the season, at least the first month or so, he was trying not to be the point forward and trying to acquiesce to the new guys.
Right.
And that took him completely out of his game. And then his mood changed. And I don't know if there's some personal things going on in the background that were going on at the time to a company. I know we had the new baby, and that's never really easy with all the... You'll know soon enough.
You're right, man. That's what everybody's been telling me.
And it's different. Even though, he had one, sure. That's a brand new person that has their own everything. So I know that came with something, especially at the beginning of the season. But honestly, I'm not sure if things have changed, but it seems like his disposition is a little better. You know, it seems like...
As of recent, for sure. Right,
very, very recent, like in the last 2 weeks, 10 games, let's just keep it real. He's been funky all the year. He's been as funky as my beard all year long.
Until we hit, 50-something games, you know, he really didn't start turning around. I want to say now, you know, maybe two and a half to 3 weeks before All-Star break started, you know.
Agreed.
Yeah, and even when he first started showing the effort, it really didn't come out so much in terms of gameplay. It at first was peaking its head in frustration, right? Mm-hmm. When he was getting those technical fouls, you know, left and right, he got ejected the one game.
Right.
You just saw it. I mean, with the thumbs down to the crowd and everything, that's when you started seeing him start buying into everything. You know what I mean? And start buying into everything.
All the noise and all the distraction, and he fell victim.
Yep. And now that's where it started.
He had to shut his stuff off.
Yep, and it's been coming into the game lately, you know, and so it's unfortunate that it's so far late into the game. You know, it's funny because we have been losing a ton of games, right? But at the same time, we're not falling so far down in the standings. We're really only, you know, 3 games back from that 10th place. You know what I mean? I think the Hawks are in there right now. Not that it matters, but I'm saying this is where Tibbs' mind at, right? Because the closer we are to it, he's going to keep playing the same way that he was to continue trying to get to that spot.
Right.
You know, there was one article that came out from Berman recently that was talking about a quote from, I know, but he had a quote from Tibbs, and I'll read it right here. Tibbs said, "We've got a young team that can get better, and that's where we have to concentrate. Get these guys better. Look, Mitchell Robinson's development, RJ's development, Quentin's development, quickly, Obi, that's where our focus is, right? And Julius Randle is still young and can still grow." Of course, he had to throw that in there right at the end, right?
Well, because he's the leader right now. Right. You can't besmirch the leader, especially on paper, especially in a Berman article. You got to really be careful of how you word things because
but those are direct quotes.
Yeah, I know, because you can see the quotes.
Yeah,
journalism, baby. Yes, yes, baby.
Who said it? Who said it? Right.
You know what I'm saying? Exact. Oh man, yeah, I'm big on that. You know what
that was great. That was so funny, man.
Oh yeah, you were talking about that cop. Yeah, yeah. We have fun Twitter conversations at times, ladies and gentlemen. Trust me. Follow at Fahim Assurance. Follow at Danny B underscore. Wait, is it underscore? Yeah, Dan underscore M-Y. And B. Yeah, there you go.
Underscore B. Yup. Y'all know what it is. I'm pretty sure it's under the names anywhere. But yeah, man, definitely. I like seeing that. It's just the real, right? I mean, it's real. It's him calling him out on where did you hear it? You know, like I'm sick of. Yeah. I've been brought up all these weeks nonstop in this room or that room or that room. You want to bring
rumors
it?
Rumors and sources. Who
said it? Right.
Who
exactly.
said it?
So that was cool.
And I believe he deleted that Instagram to get off social media.
Yeah.
And once he did that, you saw his disposition change.
Yep.
And fans say that they don't affect. Yes. Yes, we do. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
It's true.
But at the same time, you know, y'all got to play better. Duh. I mean, you can't blame Tibbs for in-game performance. Tibbs ain't tell you to throw the ball away. Tibbs ain't tell you to dribble it off your foot. Tibbs ain't tell you to shoot a stupid behind three. Come on. You know what I mean? Play better. That, to me, you know, I put the onus on everybody. Everybody. You know what I mean?
It's got to be.
Kemba, you know, but if you're given the time, use it. Set us up.
Man.
You know what I mean? When you get in the game, guys, make it matter. Grimes makes it matter. Every time he gets in the game, he makes it matter.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Everybody want to know why Sims ain't getting more time? Yes, Sims got size and he's young. But that dude is a deer in freaking headlights.
He looks What's better.
Those bright lights?
He
Come on.
Better. But still.
No, but he... For all that potential he got to get his footwork better. He got to be able to get himself in position to block shots with that athleticism, not just dunk. You know what I mean? He could be a baby Mitch real easy, but he got to get his game right.
Yep.
You know, everybody's talking about, well, why you keep throwing Taj in? And yes, at times, like during the Portland game and in other games, where the Dallas game, I feel like especially, we needed size toward the end of that game. And even with his deer in the headlights, at least he had size.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Taj is a professional, and he's very good at his job. But he can't gain 3 to 6 extra inches. You know what I mean? So when Taj is in the game, you're not going to see the blocks the way we want. And you may not get the rebounding. Randle has to rebound harder when Taj is in the game.
Yeah, he does. He has to cover, you know.
And so does Obi, and that's where my problem is, because Obi don't rebound that well yet. And again, for all that athleticism and strength, grab rebounds, bruh.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
If you can get,
and we're big on the glass, we're so much more successful. We get so much more opportunities, you know, and to push the ball.
Right, right.
Definitely. I'm with you on that. I like
rebounding is so important.
It definitely is, man. It's huge, you know. And when Randall's big on the glass, when you see him like, you know, 12 bounds, 14 bounds, 16 bounds, same with Mitch, you know what I'm saying?
We have more success.
Yeah, we do.
And it's more of, okay, when we have that, and we've seen this in the first half of games, in the last like 10 games, and we have been blowing out. And then we come back in the second half and we forget how to rebound. We forget how to play that closeout D. We forget how to shoot. And then we lose the game.
Well, see, that's a big part of what we've been doing lately, right, is we've been pushing the pace. And what's the biggest way to push the pace is to get the rebound, right? So when we're not big on the glass and we're not getting those, we lose the ability to push the pace. You see Randle in a half running down. Yeah, that's exactly it. Right now, what does Randle do when he doesn't have the opportunity to rebound and push it? He's taking it and running as fast as he can down the court. He's been doing that lately, right? And but it's not doing anything. Well, to a degree. But
to a degree. Point, I mean, again, if we win those games, we can say, see, that's working. But because
he's been running into a half-court set. That's the problem. He's not pushing the pace while he's running with that ball down the court.
But if you also notice, there's not really many people running with him. He doesn't have a lot of the time, he doesn't have options.
Well, I'm saying they're already down there waiting for him at that point, you know?
And sometimes they're not. Or if they're down there, they're down there, but they're hiding behind defenders.
Well, I'm saying when we're not getting the bound. When we do get the bound, yes, it's a different story. But when we're not getting it, that's when we're inbounding it. Stuck. They're already down there. There's no pushing the pace.
Right. There's no pace, and we don't have any point guards that could break down the D and cause movement other than Randle.
Right. And you know who, and that's what we've been missing lately is RJ, right? That rim pressure. Yes. Him constantly pushing it in there, because I feel like what we've been seeing lately is just everybody standing around so much more often.
Yep.
Right? It's just,
and that's what it is. It becomes stagnant.
Yes, and it's predictable. I mean, the other team knows you're not going to drive it in, so I'm just going to cover you. You know,
what are we doing? It's like Randle gets the ball in the worst possible position, already with two defenders on him, and here come a third in a lot of cases. Or he's got one defender where he's about to try to make a move on, but because nobody else is moving, the other defender comes in, cuts him off. Now all of a sudden, he's got to look for a outlet that wasn't there because nobody is moving. There's no rotation going on. Right. Everybody kind of stops and waits to see what happens. And we got to get facilitators. We got to get folk that move. Even when Kemba's in there, it's like when that happens, you're the point guard. Why is the ball still in Randle's hands? You know, come on. Move that ball.
And the worst part is when they're on defense, Kemba, half the time, doesn't stay with his man, so he just floats.
Which causes the collapse, and other people got to make up for him, and then that man get open. And him and Fournier. Fournier's getting a little better with that, but his guy, he gets
his hands more active. That's the only reason. He's moving his legs, and he's got his hands active. And it's been helping. He's picking up steals, right? You know? Listen, you got to impact the game one way or another, you know? So when his shot's not falling, it's nice to see him at least help a little bit on D. It's just when one guy's not clicking, the rest of the team's not clicking. And when one guy's clicking, everybody's clicking. It's right. There's no middle ground.
We have to get them clicking for 48 minutes. Because in 24-minute spans, we are almost an undefeatable team. But then the second half comes. Or the third quarter comes. One of those issues. And we can't seem to close. That's, again, why we need a better point guard. And just throwing this out there, just a little Coach Fuzz sidebar. I was thinking about this a day and a half ago. And then I started thinking about it even more yesterday. Maybe the front office punted on making a trade when they saw the fallout of other trades, because now they figure Damian Lillard might very well be open and agreeable to something in the offseason. What do you think?
So I feel like Dame is going to give them one more shot, right? I feel like he's just been so loyal to that organization.
He has no McCollum. Right. He has no other. They got nobody. Right. They're rebuilding.
And I think they're going to give it one more go in terms of seeing what they could surround him with. I don't think they're going to do it now, obviously. But I think in the offseason, they're going to do their best to put some people around him and give it one more shot. I think he's going to let that happen one more time. And if that doesn't happen, I think he'll start looking elsewhere seriously. But I still don't see it realistically yet, you know, just yet. But I get what you're saying.
I actually feel like they got the new coach in. And they're getting rid of for the most part. And they're not asking him to go. No, no, not at all. But have you ever been to somebody's house who wants you to leave, but they're too nice to ask you to leave, so they do a lot of passive-aggressive stuff, like kick your friends out?
Right.
And just kind of stare at you and smile and offer you a cup of water? Waiting for you to look at your clock and be like, oh, you know what? Ooh, it's getting late. You know what? Yeah, let me head on out.
Right.
Because honestly, I don't know what their cap situation is, but I don't really know what they can bring about around him to put themselves in a championship position in this offseason.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he may stay. I mean, he's going to get out. So is Bradley Beal, and I got a feeling Beal is leaving too. I don't necessarily, I'm not calling for Beal, but I do think if Lillard is available, and maybe, you know, World Wide West and these people with these connections that we don't know anything about, maybe they're having private conversations, you know, not tampering, just, you know, hey, man, how's that surgery going? How you feeling? Yeah, you see they traded CJ and them, right? Yeah, I saw your little tweet. I know you're feeling it. I know, it's terrible. Yeah, you know, it's just interesting. I tell you what, I'll get you a holler in August. Nice talking to you. You know what I'm saying?
Right, of course.
Just take a temperature in August, and you never know. But honestly, that little fascination was probably the only good thing that came out of me wondering why they did nothing at the trade deadline.
No, I hear you, man. I totally, you know.
Without that, I am pissed.
Yeah, I mean, you see the reports from Ian Begley, you know, where he's saying that Tibbs, you know, was
pissed too.
You're right. They're both sides are. You know what I'm saying? So obviously they're not.
Because I feel like Tibbs wanted them to get somebody that can kind of help turn this around.
Right.
And I feel like maybe they were a little slow to the gun on certain things, or maybe they just didn't like the deal.
I think that's what it was. I think that we were not. It just wasn't right. I feel like they weren't looking to take things together. Like, we were looking to, say, move Burks. Maybe we want to stick, you know, somebody with him. You know what I mean? And include, you know, a Kemba with it. And people didn't want to do it. Or maybe they were looking for some of the picks. And we don't want to, you know, we don't want to part with the picks. So right,
because we can, like, probably, we can use those picks in a better situation in the offseason than we could probably get during that time. So
exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. So that's where I'm at with that. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what we do in the offseason. And from here until then, do you see Tibbs changing anything at all? I'll just leave it completely wide open.
To be perfectly honest, based on what I'm saying now, probably not. I know Derek is coming back, but you still got to ease him back in with that ankle.
Right.
You don't want to give him 30 minutes like next week.
I'm with you on that.
So I don't really see him doing the overuse of Derek, especially at this particular time of the year where we don't really, I hate to say it, we don't have much to fight for. It's a lot of work to get, you know, those last few wins that we need to even get into the play-in. And with how many wins we let slip through our fingers that could have made this a hell of a lot easier over the past 2 weeks, we are where we are.
Yep.
And as much as it pains me to say, you know, we look like we're back in a lottery. And honestly, that might be the smart play at this point. And maybe that's why we fell apart in these last few games. Is because at the end of the day, even though we don't want to necessarily draft somebody in that position, having a lottery pick makes it even more spicy as far as trade packages. My thing is, and I know everybody's mad at Tibbs for letting RJ be in the game for the last few seconds and he hurt his ankle. Shit, stuff happens. You know, listen, stuff happens. It was dumb that he brought him back in the game, but Tibbs does not like to throw a white flag, so to speak. And I know that. We all know that about him. He don't like to throw that white, the white flag. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. You know, if RJ escapes there with no injury, nobody's even talking about it. You know what I mean? But the fact that in the final seconds, you know what I mean? He hurts his ankle right there, you know, in a game that was already lost. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks, no doubt. But stuff happens. You know what I mean? Yep. I mean, he could have tweaked it at the beginning of the game. Keep it a buck.
I'm with you on that. I just so, feel like... I
mean, it does suck that it happened, but he'll be back. It's not broken. You know what I mean? He didn't require surgery or anything like that, so he'll be back. And he was playing at such a high level, it's only going to take him maybe 2 games to get back to that. Don't expect him to come back and be sharp in the first 2 games. Don't expect that.
He needs... No. He needs an acclimation.
Time. There's a little bit of rust. He got to reacclimate himself, but he'll be fine.
100%.
And he Lillard and Randall as a third option would take us far.
You're pushing this, huh? I like this.
Well, no, it's, I mean, if it happens. I mean, again, you know me. I have no agendas ever.
No, I know.
You know, ever. It's because, again, that was part of what played in my mind is those three. And if, okay, so this would be the starting lineup. It would be Lillard, RJ, Cam, Randall, and Nimitz. And Cam would be a third, fourth scoring option, and Randall would be a third, fourth scoring option, depending on the flow of the game and who we're playing against. That's how I see it.
Okay.
The lion's share of the offense would be between the point guard and RJ. And actually, that takes so much weight off Randall, he'll probably score 24 points a night. Being the third option.
Right.
Because
if he goes back to playing in that role.
Well, hear me out. He's seeing RJ ascend. And he's okay with it. He really is, I can tell. People talk of trying to make something between them two. I actually think he's loving the fact that RJ is becoming a beast. Because by next season, RJ will be the one double team. Which, guess what? Frees him up.
Right.
Which is what a point guard was supposed to do coming in this year. The whole point was to, number one, get better on offense, keep our defense the way it was, and get Randall some relief. Front office didn't do that.
Yep.
They wanted to. They swung and a miss. Swing and a miss.
And a big underestimation, man. The defense that Peyton did play. Even and if people both. Want to say that it was little to bare none, guess what? It still amounts to more than what we're getting now.
Yep.
I mean.
Exactly. Folk weren't blowing by him. Now, again, his issue was offense. Yes. He gave us absolutely nothing offensively. Teams were not worried about him offensively. So it was like having a free defender on the court all the time.
Right.
Which doesn't help. So, again, Tibbs wanted a point guard that could stop people but also get buckets. I'm pretty sure he wanted a Kyle Lowry.
I'm sure.
I don't know that we had that conversation.
It's what he likes.
And, I mean, but in my humble opinion, on that note, I feel like it would have made sense.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, the style that he plays, Tibbs, you know, and the sets that he runs, they're made for point guards, you know what I mean, and centers. And so without having that solid point guard on lock, you lose that quality in his offense. So
and his sets then look weird as opposed to effective.
Right.
As ugly as it was with Peyton last year, his sets were effective. Because at the end of the day, and we couldn't see it, but we see it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, and absolutely.
Tibbs saw it early in the season, but we couldn't understand what he saw. So when he benched Kemba and said, "We pretty much can't win with him. You can't win with him."
Right.
he was right. But we sitting here like, we gave this young man all these flowers coming here. What do you mean? These same fans is right now talking about, yo, how come we haven't waived him yet? Like, you know, fire him.
Right.
Which is like the theme. But this situation needs more than 2 years.
I definitely agree.
We're and I'm doing glad a disservice to everything, quitting on it now just because it's ugly. I feel like going into this season, everyone, front office on down, thought this would be a different year. Everyone. And the fan base is really, really representing the angst and anger that I think everyone is feeling right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It would be... Yeah, and I saw that comment, and I definitely want to get to that.
We'll touch on it.
Because I feel like we touched on it a little bit, but we'll touch on it again.
Mm-hmm.
And by me doing that, now I forgot what the heck I was talking about.
So you were going into how pretty much tying this all together with how you see Tibbs kind of finishing out the season.
Yeah, and that also went back to your original question earlier. Again, with him not having the tools that he really needs, he's going to stick with what he has.
Right.
The bold move would be after the All-Star break, sitting Kemba again.
I would love to put Deuce in there, man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
at this point, these
are gripes that people have because he doesn't change anything. So people start throwing everything at him.
Right. You know what I mean? Now, but again, Deuce, yeah. I would actually, because the young man needs to mature, I would actually start quickly. Because sooner or later, we have to see what he's really about.
Right.
Where we can really play him.
So give him the last 30 games.
Burks needs to come off the bench. That's how he's effective. He is not effective starting.
Totally agree. At least in our offense.
In our offense, he needs to be that juice. And he's not a point guard.
Right.
He got the size, sure, but we need him being explosive off the bench, pew, 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 like he does. Baby Jordan.
I'm with you. Definitely. You know what I
mean? We need the bench needs that jolt. The bench needs also, and this is why I say not yet to Deuce, or a combination of such, because the bench needs the maturity of Derrick Rose.
Right.
And again, I don't expect I hope he doesn't play him like 23, 25 minutes coming back early. Play him like 12 and let Deuce get the rest of that time. You know, split it between the two. Open up your roster just a little bit and split it between the two.
Right.
Because Deuce is a hard worker and he does have good defense. And his offense, it comes in the G League, but it's the G League. I'm sorry. It's the competition and the defense levels are different.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I definitely like young Ving Rhames. I really do.
I like that.
He looks like Ving Rhames to me. So.
I like that. Listen, he's got that intensity, like we said earlier, mm-hmm. that Grimes brings, that RJ has. Deuce is another one who just has that
he's a killer dog.
Instinct.
He's a yes. dog.
Yes.
And we need pit bulls in the yard.
Yep. We need guys that don't stop moving when movement is one of our biggest problems.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Agreed. And I need to see Cam more.
In the role he should be playing in, right?
Right.
I made a video the other day saying that in one of the fourth quarter collapses, or second half collapses, if you want to put it, where I just remember seeing in the fourth quarter, Cam Reddish was on the court, and he's just standing out, standing, mm-hmm. waiting for the ball, you know, in the corner, and then he moves mm-hmm. up to the top of the three, and I see Randall call a pick and roll, and it's with Alec, you know, Burks, and it's like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, these are the things that just, I don't get it, man. Cam,
well, he's going to call it with Burks. Honestly, because that's what he's used to.
I know.
Randall is very comfort-oriented. He's got to get comfortable with you.
And so is Tibbs. That's why they mesh.
But Tibbs has to get Cam oriented so Randall can get used to him.
Totally agree.
And then you won't see that as much.
Nah, man.
But listen, it's the same thing with Burks. He used to play that with Bullock all the time.
He misses
that.
You know, but Burks needs four steps to get up to the rim. You know, where Burks, right. Reddish, 1-2 there. You know what right. I'm saying? It's so much.
So different. Again, he'll get there. I honestly don't know if we'll see Alec Burks after the offseason, but Cam, I believe, will still be here.
I think so too. I definitely think so.
And it's not, none of this is not to Alec Burks at all.
No, it's just with the direction where things need to start heading, right?
Right. And unfortunately, because of Fournier's contract, unless there's a trade that happens, he's not the one. And again, dude, he has slowly, I mean, he embraced us coming in, but he didn't know what he was getting into.
Yes, intensity-wise.
And now he knows, and now he actually likes it. You can tell he likes it.
He's fired up. When he hits two, three threes in a row,
and he hears that garden.
You see clips of it. You know, I mean,
dude, when he makes a steal, we cheer. He's not used to that.
Right.
You know, he's like, oh, snap, they watching. Yes, brother, we watching.
Defensive effort will get the loudest cheer all day long in the garden.
Yep.
Just plain as day.
And he's learning that.
Mm-hmm.
He's learning that.
Totally agree, man. Totally agree. Now,
what will win him over completely is once we get a couple of wins in a row, the way the garden will react with a couple of wins, maybe three wins in a row, that it'll go bonkers and he'll be like, okay, so all we got to do to keep this noise is keep doing this. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what I mean?
But it's got to be both halves, man. Like, it's crazy. It's got
to
be.
We have crazy to finish. How, and that's on Tibbs.
The
we
switch.
Have to finish. Yep. You know, you got him prepared to start. You had him fired up. Now, keep him fired up.
Right.
And it's funny, the conversation that you had that I chimed into on Twitter the other day about Woodson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because from the moment this thing started going awry, I noticed, and I brought it up to you a couple of times, I believe.
Yeah, we spoke a lot about it ever since he left.
The team needs Mike Woodson. It was stagnant in the playoffs, and it looks the same. It looked the same at the beginning of the season as it did then.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't think Randall goes off the rails the way he did this season with Mike Woodson there.
I mean,
I can't be mad at the man. He's working at the University of Indiana, and he's not punching other coaches in the face. That's crazy.
Nuts. Woody's definitely missed, man.
He's missed. There's a presence there and an ability to talk to players, and I think it also gelled with Johnny Bryant in it.
I think it all gelled. The fact that
they never replaced him.
It says a lot.
I mean, I think they were like, well, we have great coaches here. But, dude, you can make the best gumbo in the world, but if you're missing that shrimp, is it really gumbo?
100%. And listen, man, that missing piece could be out there. And if they're not looking, they're not going to find it.
Dude, you hiring dudes that had sexual issues in other organizations, but you're not hiring a coach that could replace the offensive mind and player coach ability that Mike Woodson brought to the table. And we need that.
Yeah, we definitely do. We definitely do, man. You know, and it's funny because, you know, the young guys, they've really kind of came into their own, you know, just all of them, you know. And one of those guys is Obi Toppin, you know, who I don't know how we got through this first 45 minutes of the show without even mentioning.
I was literally about to say these next 15 minutes, let's talk about Obi Toppin.
Because we got to get into that, man. I got some of the videos lined up, so we're gonna show those. But, yeah, man. Obi Toppin finally won the contest. We all should have, you know, seen him win it last year, but yes. Bygones are bygones. And
it's a new year. It's a new day.
That's right, man.
Bygones. We have a new champion.
And bygone.
And and we didn't pick him.
Right.
And that's over. Why he hates on us. he's from Malloy and all that, so he's Queens royalty. You know what I mean? Archbishop Malloy, big shouts. I actually got into Archbishop Malloy when I was in eighth grade too, so that was big. I got in there, and I almost walked Mark Jackson's life, yo, because I got into Bishop Lachlan, and my goal was to go to St. John's after Bishop Lachlan.
Okay.
And he did that. He went to Bishop Lachlan and then went to St. John's after.
Right.
Unfortunately, things went a little different in Coach Farland, so I wasn't able to like follow Mark Jackson, but I thought that was cool.
Yeah, definitely, man. That was dope. So,
else we got? We got more obese.
Yeah. I like it. Windmill off the glass.
Coach, your mic is muted.
It would have been so much better if the other players just made your daggone dunks.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Just finish.
Listen, when we're playing those clips, your mic was muted. So if when you hit that, unmute your mic so you can keep talking over the video.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah,
it's all good. Yeah, all I said was what I just said. Wait a minute, we ain't missed nothing.
Nah, we definitely did it, man. Dude, that first dunk that he did, the first one, he jumped completely over that
dude,
guy.
Dude, the first guy did the little hand leap thing, and this dude just jumps over a man.
That was just nuts, man. How
and Kenny talking about, we've seen this before. Stop. Shut up, Kenny.
No way.
You know what I mean? Shut up,
dude,
Kenny.
Me and you should have been on that all day. We would have.
Dude, maybe we'll make that happen. You know, NBA All-Star Committee. Duh.
Hello.
Like, come on.
Hello. You know,
let real hosts handle that kind of festivity.
I'm going to click on this link. As soon as we pop up this, I'm unmute your mic so we can talk about this.
All we need is a 40. We don't need much.
Because I think this first attempt, this is his third dunk. And he misses the first two.
Yeah.
He's trying to
tie legs, man.
And hit the backboard before he dunks it.
No, that joint was nuts.
And he tried it here, but he didn't do it. So he gave up and he goes to this dunk instead. And this was the first dunk of the finals round. I mean, still a beautiful dunk.
No, that was fire, and it had the power necessary. And it had the athleticism. He had the windmill arms and everything. You know what I mean? The flail out.
He looks so good when he does it, man. I mean,
this was the Star Wars final, though. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
With Obi and Wan.
Boom.
All we need is a Kenobi, yo.
Yeah, you're right, man. You're right.
That's crazy, right? Obi and Wan.
So that was the first of the final round. And then the final dunk. He was able to finally get it. It didn't have the, the pop that he was looking for, but in slow motion, when you watch it on the replay in this video, it's just, it's pretty cool.
It's Obi Toppin to lose.
I gave it a little intro so we could talk, but
nah, this joint was fire.
Yeah, and the camera that follows him didn't
was perfect.
Get it. They didn't get it.
Oh, not the initial one, but then on the replay you see it. So that's why I say it was perfect, because you
but
see his hands perfect.
The camera that was following him, you know what I'm saying, didn't go high enough to see him jump.
Right. Like the boom camera didn't realize he was going that high up.
Yeah, right. So the replay, like, that looks sick, man.
I mean, he pins it there and stuffs it back, dude.
Through his legs to pin it and then stop it.
I mean,
that was
and
dope.
To still and have the hang time to do that. To me, this was reminiscent of Dwight Howard putting a sticker on the top of the backboard.
Yep.
You don't realize that's what he did until you look again and you're like, oh, snap.
Yep. And then finally we get some scores up here the way it should be. I'm surprised there was no 50s, though. It's like they stopped giving out 50s and 49s and stuff. You know, right? Like, I haven't seen that in a couple of years now.
Well, I feel like they were giving out 50s too easy years ago. Because I feel like a bunch of dunks got 50s that weren't 50s back in the day. I mean, even 2010 or like 2016 even.
Like, I'm with you on that. They were giving them too easy.
Yeah, so, you know, I feel like they're trying to be more stringent now.
Right.
But
with that,
part of the problem is, if you say you get 3 attempts to make 2 dunks, leave it at that. And don't give me that, oh, he didn't release or didn't have extension, so this one doesn't count. That boy Jalen Green was running back and forth like 17 times, man. Come on. You know what I mean? I fell asleep, woke up, and he was still attempting. I had 2 birthdays.
Way too many times, man.
I had 2 birthdays between his dunks.
And then he was pointing at the floor. I think there's a spot.
Yeah,
that was funny.
But you brought out your friend and you're yelling at your friend.
Yo. What about Cole Anthony dunking in the Timbs?
Dude, my feet hurt just looking at it. My feet hurt just looking at that. Like, ouch.
I love how
landing is gonna suck.
Cats were writing all over the internet. Like, we'd be doing that in Rucker every day.
Right. I mean, and yo, on the real, one of my homies, I saw he put a comment on Facebook. I don't like props. That's not a prop.
No.
If anything, and honestly, I feel like they undervalued that dunk. Because there's extra weight in Tim's that there isn't in sneakers.
Oh, there definitely is. That's for sure.
So for him to get up and be able to bounce off of the ground like that off Tim's.
Yeah.
Fresh Tim's at that, when the sole ain't even all bent up and nice and good for you yet.
Right.
When you done sweated in them things for about a month and a half straight. You know when it starts to feel comfortable. Those were fresh.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Those things is bricks. You know.
Oh, yeah, man.
You know what I mean? Your feet hurt 2 days trying to break in some new Tims.
Dude, I was just happy to see him finally walk away with something. You know, I posted
behind the
scenes video of him, you know, putting the trophy away. But I got his immediate reaction off the court. So let's bring up this video real quick, too. Give him some love. Come on, baby.
That was nice, though.
Hey, I can't do none of that stuff them guys doing. So
that was nice.
I'm just talking.
Good for him.
Just creativity. Yeah. Special.
Yeah, well, he joins Nate Robinson and Kenny Walker, third Nick to win this competition. Let's send it down to public address announcer. Mark
My wife Mason. Ain't like them earrings, though. She had an issue.
Yeah, I'm not huge on them. I'm not huge on
him. I'm like, dude, why you need door knockers? Like, why you need mini door knockers? Come on, man. I know you from New York and all that, but come on, man.
And then I forget her name, who introduces Obi here, but she starts bringing up like, oh yeah, you know the guys on the been talking about, you know, the dunks that, you know, and it's not a great contest and it's been boring, like. This guy just
That was whack of her. Like, why are you asking him that?
Yeah, that was stupid.
You know? Congratulations on her right here. Some folk was liking her bangs. I was not. I was like, I don't like the Elvira. I don't know what's really happening here, but, you know. And you ragging on my man, OD, so.
I couldn't deal with it, man. I really couldn't.
But okay, yeah, you look like, you know, those are like the Crow 2 earrings.
Yeah,
no doubt. You could definitely hurt your feet dunking in Tim's, yo. Tim's and church shoes. It is not advisable. Floor sheen shoes at that, because the hardwood is real.
That was a good answer. Yeah. So stupid, man. It's just stupid.
She was
I mean,
for that. She just really was. But again, it's what's that, ESPN or something?
Was it? I don't even
know. Nah, it was TNT. But Lisa Salter was trying too hard.
So what else we got left here, man?
Oh, we gotta go. No, we gotta go back to my man still Knicks fan question.
Yeah, let's talk on that.
Are we worried that when RJ comes back, there will be some issues because RJ was getting an opportunity to orchestrate the offense, but Julius has been doing it with him out? You want to go first?
Yeah, definitely. I'll touch on it. I don't think it's going to change too much. I just think that Randle's kind of used to doing what he's asked. I mean, right now he's pretty much given the keys, so it's just a matter of here you go. I think that as RJ was starting to get more and more comfortable and starting to get more consistent, I think that the touches changed, right? It started to balance out a little bit more. RJ started getting it a little bit more throughout the game, maybe not so much in crunch time or, you know, at certain points at the end of the game where we kind of hoped he would. But I don't see that as too much of an issue. I kind of look at it like you said earlier. I don't think that there's really too much resentment at all between the two. I think if anything, that Randall's kind of got his back a little bit, like a big brother, little brother kind of situation. So I don't think that there'll be too much there. I think really, and I'm glad that this question was asked because it's kind of circling around to the last topic I wanted to touch on, which was the return of RJ and Rose, because now adding both of those guys into the flow, now you're adding two pieces that need touches. So that takes it away from Randle a little bit more so than just RJ. You know what I mean? But I think that it'll be good because I think that Rose will energize the lineup a little bit more. In terms of that pace, he'll help out. Rose is very good at getting that ball down court with the outlet passes. I think that that'll give Randle a little bit of a break to a degree because clearly he's getting gassed game after game lately when we're playing with this you know, faster tempo. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at with it.
I agree. I don't think it'll be a hindrance to either player. I think those two are the straw that stirs the drink. And, I mean, I don't necessarily want RJ playmaking, so to speak. I want him attacking, because that's what he loves to do.
Yep, 100%.
I mean, sure, see the court a little bit better because he kind of gets tunnel vision sometimes. You know what I mean? He got the ball and he sees the rim and he don't see anybody else to include the open teammate.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But so if he can hit that open teammate every so often and just like keep his head up a little bit and not be so completely focused to just score, but at the same time, attack and just score.
Right.
I mean, but that's how he was playing. He's getting better and better every week. RJ is becoming who we thought he would be becoming. I think if he keeps this up and we have the consummate record next year, he can be an all-star. He's going to raise his level just that much more next year.
I totally agree. I definitely think that, I mean, that it's just how it's been going. Like, if you literally look at his first year, his second year, his third year, and what he's gone through in terms of the front office, the organization, the team he's had around him, correct, he's still on an upward trend, and I don't see that changing anytime soon, especially with the momentum that he found this year. You know,
I'm going to say something.
Go, please.
I didn't mean to cut you off, though. I'm sorry.
Nah, do it, bro. Now we're really back in the flow now.
Yeah, for real. The worst thing in the world for RJ Barrett is for Tibbs to be fired right now. This will be, what, his third coach, if possible? And then coming in will be a fourth coach?
Right.
Worst thing in the world for that kid right now. I mean, again, and I don't see my rookies not developing under Tibbs' watch. I don't see that. They are. Sims, not so much, but he will if they keep him. Grimes, hell yes. You know, in the limited minutes we've seen Deuce, he's been extremely impactful. And we'll see Deuce more as it goes, especially, I hate to say it, if IQ keeps this rocky ship going.
Yeah,
if IQ keeps the rocky ship going, so we may not see IQ next year, but Deuce will take those minutes.
Yeah, I think quickly definitely hit a sophomore slump. I feel like he's definitely hit a wall to a degree. I think that the last couple of games before we broke for the All-Star game, I think he started showing a little bit more. That last game, I feel like he definitely had a little bit more of a rhythm to his game. Mm-hmm. You know, he started seeing the shot go in a little bit more. So hopefully as the season ends, he gets
out of his funk and becomes
and he'll get back to normal track. Too. I think he'll be fine. I think it's just that he hit that little slump. And that's all, you know. And I mean, Grimes, like you said, RJ's consistent development, Toppin, obviously. I think everybody's on a
Mitch great is becoming who we thought, again, another one, becoming who we thought he was. He is the beast that I knew he was going to be. And his offense has been actually really impactful in what he does.
Yeah.
Don't ask that man to shoot threes. Let that man do what he's doing. Let him do what he's doing. Yeah, he's very good at it.
Man, he lives with that put back, man. You know what I'm saying? On the glass.
And because he's so active and he's getting stronger, it's working better for him.
Yep.
Let that man eat. Just make sure y'all Uber tank up and tape up his ankles.
Yes,
like,
seriously.
With platinum and stuff. Give him adamantium.
So what we've been what we're looking to do on this show every week is give the opportunity to some fans to come join us on the show via video feed and throw out some takes, some questions, some dialogue with what we've been talking about throughout the show. So I just threw out a request to Ron via the DM on Still Knicks Fans. Hopefully he sees that. But if not, what we'll do is we'll wrap it up and we'll look to do it again next week. And hopefully he could join us then. But any thoughts to kind of wrap up the show a little bit here?
Glad to be back.
Yeah, man, it's been a while. I like being able to talk for more than 2 minutes at a time. And I think what I'm going to actually do is I'm going to stop recapping the games in such a succinct function and kind of do it more so laid back and just kind of point out some things that I'm seeing. I just feel like the recaps have kind of gotten a little bit more. What's the word I'm looking for?
They're taking a life of their own.
They really are, man. They really are. But no, I think it's really like last year, right? We were winning so many games, so people had no problem reliving them games. But you know, in the Knicks world, when we're down,
I'm gonna be honest,
people keep don't want to do that. You know,
keep doing it.
I'm going to a degree. I'm gonna still, recap to a degree.
Even though they're not going to the wins at the end on some of these. No, dude. I mean, again, that is probably one of the most impactful things on Knicks Twitter right now is the 2 minute wrap up with Danny B.
Oh no, I'm gonna keep them going. That's for sure. Verbatim recaps. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you. Like, we lost this one. This is where we missed shots. This is where we missed shots. This is where we missed shots.
That's what I'm saying.
We lost this one. I hear you. But I mean, again, I'm a big dude about consistency too, and I love what you do, man.
I definitely appreciate that, man. I do. But and do listen, that's do. It. It's
I'm
listen,
still
that's,
gonna
that's
keep
what
circulating
I got,
it and retweeting it.
That's my man, dude. So that's what I got, right? The morning drive, and I got the Knicks Corner Pod here with you. So yes, why don't you tell the people, kind of remind them what you've been up to outside of the Knicks Corner?
Well, again, I do my Knicks Minute, and it should be called Knicks Minutes because I used to try to keep it to 5 to 7, but sometimes it can go to 13 and 15 minutes. But they are juicy rants. I promise you that. There's a lot of information stuck in my rants, bro. I'm in the car. I'm driving to work.
They're insightful. I'm telling you, when you guys watch a game and you got some thoughts, he's hitting on those exact thoughts the next morning. So I definitely if you're not watching them, go check them out. Go subscribe to the Candid Corner on YouTube. Hit that subscribe and go check out your man, Coach Fi.
That's my other show. I talk all kinds of other sports besides Knicks because I don't talk Knicks there. I reserve that right here with my main man. And we talk like movies and film and stuff too. So the Candid Corner is actually it's changed up a little bit, but it's more fun. We actually got a third member now, MG.
I know. I seen him, man. I seen him the other night. Was watching.
Yeah, I mean, it's a new dimension, but I feel like it's a lot more fun. We're having a lot more fun. It's a nice conversation, and yo, feel free, Danny, you come by, hang out too.
Hell yeah, bro! I'm there, man. Extend the invite, bro, and I'm in the room.
And please check out Knicks Twitter, Candid Corner. The Knicks Corner on Twitter. You will find Danny B's morning drives, and you'll also find my Knicks Minutes. So you'll find all the Knick content right there. A lot
everything
of great followers, all kinds of great Knick people. So there it is.
Definitely. Knicks Corner on Twitter, the Knicks Corner on YouTube, on Spotify, on Apple, all that. So that way you get all this great content. You know what I'm saying? We're back every week, Sundays, 9 p.m. live. We're here to give it to you. You know what I'm saying? The good and the bad, everything in between. And without further ado, my man Ron, from Still Knicks Fan, was able to come join us. He brought out those awesome questions. So being that me and Coach were able to touch on them, I wanted to bring Ron up and let him touch on them themselves. So, Ron, welcome to the show, man.
Ron, you get to close out the show, my brother. What's happening, man?
Hey, man, I figure I'm just chilling, you know, watching All-Star stuff, listening to you guys on. I was like, oh, okay, I didn't know you guys was back. I'm ready to see y'all back doing your thing. So, yeah, man, everything's hell good. Yeah. Appreciate y'all. Good to see y'all. And, yeah, I agree with y'all. I think that Randall and RJ have a really good mix. I think they have like big brother, little brother. So I'm not really concerned about it. I just thought it's a good question to talk about because, you know, fans may not be too understanding of their dynamic, their relationship, because I think they're one of the solid, you know, a real solid duo on the team. I think they'll be fine. The only thing I am a little bit worried about is just that I think when RJ has the ball in his hands more in the middle of the court, as opposed to when he's on the wings to try to shoot threes, I think he is in a better position to be more aggressive, and you can see a little bit more from him. Randall's going to be fine either way. I think Randall it was just a mental thing for him. His shot wasn't falling. He had a lot of stuff weighing on his mind. Now he's seen the shot go in, and he's back to being like old Randall. So he's good. I'm not worried about him.
That's a great point, you know, and we touched on that a little bit earlier. I definitely think that Randall's kind of found that middle ground, you know what I'm saying? Amidst all of the nervousness, amidst all of the turmoil, he's kind of found, you know, where he needs to be to dial in and still be effective, you know, consistently, because he's shown it's been over a good stretch now, right? Yeah. So that's definitely a plus. I mean, a little too late, but it's still better to see than
nothing. We'll see.
Yeah, very true, man. Very true.
I mean, after the All-Star break, what if these losses with the massive halftime reads become wins?
It's true.
At the end of the day, you know, Coach Fire will always throw the little douse of optimism in the building just because.
Positive vibes, bro. You know what I mean? Because
a fly sees things in at least 12 different angles every day of his life. There's always more than one way to see something. Mm. So that's just how I look at it.
And dude, and that's my whole thing too. Like when I'm on Twitter and I'm looking to get people's opinions and perspectives, like that's what it's about. Like we're all fans of the same team and have the same goal at the end of the day. I'm more curious to understand why you think that you want to see this as opposed to other things. I don't care other than I'm not gonna, you know what I'm saying? Like I just can't stand this the such divisiveness that comes out, and you know, like it's all opinions, man. We're not running the team ourselves. Right. You know what I'm saying? And we all know everybody's different. Everybody's going to have a different idea. So to me, like, I can't stand, like, when you know, you see people start getting so intense and, you know, start exchanging words. And it's like, relax. You know, like,
what I can't stand?
It's it.
Hives.
Dad!
I can't stand them. I can't stand them.
Listen, I understand them, though.
Let me say why. Hives breed separation and finger pointing.
Mm-hmm.
If you like a player, all of a sudden that's Randall Hive, and now we got the RJ Hive. We're on the same team. Why do we have hives? We're on the same team.
I'm with you on that.
Listen, I'm a Knick Hive, so everything that's inside the Knicks, I'm with. I'm a Knick Hive. I don't need to separate my players out. I don't want to separate my players out.
I hear you. I think it's more just, at least it comes from a place of just more like, we're going to get behind this guy. You know what I'm saying? And give him a push. Like, he's a new guy. You know, like when RJ came up, you got the RJ Hive. You got the Cam Reddish Hive. Like, it's.
But what it does is it pits them against each other, because the Cam Hive doesn't want Fournier on the team, or the Cam needs Fournier's minutes. And then the Grimes Hive needs to have Kemba's minutes. And it, again, and the RJ Hive, why is Randall holding the ball? And Randall Hive, why does RJ not pass the ball? Again, and on Twitter, all you see is Knicks fans yelling at each other.
Yep.
All right. Right.
Well, and guys, like you said, Danny want the same daggone thing.
Right. Well, they take it too far. That's the difference.
I was just gonna say, I'm with you guys. I think you guys are you're positive Knicks fans, very optimistic. I know I hear Danny all the time. You know, whether it be on Spaces with Lito and Seth and Sean. very positive, hoping for the best. Still, you know, trying to you know, give that energy that we got to stick together, root for our team. And I'm with you guys on that. I'm just, unfortunately, my whole thing is I'm feeling real funky about what's going on around the team. The information that's starting to leak out when stuff hasn't been leaking all year. Now all of a sudden it's leaking, and in where it's coming from, you know, I don't like that. And I feel like, you know, when you see stuff like that,
smoke
stuff is
fire.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Stuff is moving. Yep. You know what I mean? So I hope I'm wrong, but I
so do I, because we were really good last year.
I was just going to say that.
And keeping things locked and keeping everything inside the family. We were 100%. Really, really good at that. So let's get back to that.
Right.
Because the media only wants to pry on any piece of news it gets anyway and turn it into some, you know, negative fodder. And my main man, I'm not going to say his name, but he loves to hit them keyboards and type up that stuff, you know? And even before things got bad, his articles always had a twinge of that stuff. And I feel like he's now feeling vindicated because now there's actually something to have stuff about.
But, right.
You know, wanting bad things to happen is a funny way to sell papers.
It is. But that's how it's always been, you know?
Not always, Danny. Again, I was in the journalism field. I know.
Well, listen,
it's not always, but it is how it is now.
Right. There was always earnest in it to a degree back. Like, I'm not trying to take that away. But at the end of the day, it was still the flash and the bedazzle that sold. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't clicks. It was headlines for nickels, you know,
and that ego that New York writers built has been the bane of our sports existence since they started doing that in the early 90s.
Right.
You know what I mean? The Peter Vessies and all of them
driving
Ewing crazy and all that was unnecessary then.
Yep.
It's unnecessary now. We don't need to do that documented. To sell New York papers, guys. And that's my humble opinion from a dude from Queens, New York.
And you know, I like that you brought that up. There's always been one. There was Peter Vesey. Then it was Frank Isola, which I'm glad we don't hear that much from him anymore. And now we've got, you know who the new guy is. You know who the new guy is.
Yeah. You know, so.
Someone's got to fill the role, right?
Right. I
see, again, why? I've never been that dude. I don't think we need contrarians in my universe.
You know what? But because this fan base does so much of it on its own.
Really? Really? Again, so we don't really need somebody flagging that beacon of distrust.
And when we see it, we're like, hey, you're not us. You can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's funny how that works.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Funny. Indeed.
Well, listen, I didn't want to. Yeah, I don't want to keep you guys. I just, you know, I saw the opportunity. You know, thank you, Danny. So I jump off real quick. I've been listen, Coach Fire, you don't know, man. I've been going back and forth with Danny for quite some time. I've been trying to chop it up, man. We just haven't been able to do it.
It's always something, man. I remember the last time that we were trying to get it planned, right? We had it scheduled for a Saturday at like 12 o'clock noon. A couple of days before, the wife was like, oh, you know, like, why don't we go to the casino this weekend and do a little romantic? How can I say no, you know? So I'm telling Ryan, I'm like, listen, I could still do it. I might be in the hotel room, though, but what happened was I ended up drinking way too much the night before, and it was not happening. So I remember texting him like, dude, but this is going back to, I mean, what, like early fall of last year?
I remember that casino night. So
that's what I'm saying. So me and Ron, we'll definitely link up soon. But anytime, Sundays at 9 p.m., man, we're here. Anytime you want to hop on, say anything, you're more than welcome to join us. You know, we want to start opening the floor up a little bit to the listeners, to, you know, fellow content creators, to get opinion. Let's have a dialogue, you know?
Yeah, that's dope. And listen, both of you guys, you know, we do things a little differently. We don't have a lot of people on during our weekly shows and stuff. Maybe on the weekend I do like a freestyle where anybody could jump on. But what we want to do is, like, in the off season, we try to get our interviews done. Like, that's when I first started talking to you, Danny, back last off season. So this off season coming up, I would like to get, you know, myself and John would love to have both you and Coach Fire on, and we could chop it up and really get into this thing.
We're there, bro. 100%.
Done and done.
All right. Definitely. Sounds good.
Ron, why don't you tell everybody that's listening right now where they can find all your stuff at?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, listen, you can catch me with my man, John. And also, we've got our man on the ones and twos. His name is Jose. He holds us down. So, you know, just look for us at Still Knick Fans. That's just, you know, it is what it is. Still Knick Fans. You can catch us on our YouTube channel, as well as you could also see us on the Nothing But Knicks Network, because we have a show called the NBA Report. It's in the middle of the week usually, and we do that on Nothing But Knicks. So you get us three times a week. You get our weekly recap show on Mondays, our NBA Report either on Wednesday or Thursday, depending on if the Knicks play that day. And then you'll catch me again on the weekend on my Know the Ledge series, which is like a freestyle where anybody can jump on.
I just saw that the other day, and I was like, oh, I got to start checking this out.
Yeah, man. So we're around, bro. Thank you. Thank you for the time, and thank you for allowing me to speak about the brand. We're trying to grow and, you know, keep bringing more and more content to our fellow Knick fans.
Hell yeah, man. That's what we're all about, man. You know, I'm all about it. So we'll definitely continue to link up in the future. Again, Ron, I appreciate you coming through. You and John are welcome anytime. Still Knicks fans, go check that out. Ron, again, it's been a pleasure, man. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Thank you. Salute to you, Danny. Salute to you, Coach Fi. I'm glad to see this dynamic duo back together again. Very nice. Very nice.
Hell yeah.
I'll catch y'all in the next one.
Definitely. Yes, indeed, brother. See you next week.
All right,
man. Man, that was definitely cool. I'm glad Ron was able to join.
That was awesome.
Definitely, man. So we'll have to get some more people coming through. You know what I mean? We'll open the floor up.
Oh, we will. Now that we back, brother, they know.
They know what it is.
They coming. We the Pied Piper of Nickdom.
Yup. And right down here, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe and stream on YouTube, Spotify,
subside too.
Google, subside. Yeah, subscribe. Yes, you know what I'm saying?
Too. Hit do that it all. Do everything he
hit
says.
That like button. Help us get the word out. If you're enjoying the content, you know, all the support is always appreciated. That's for sure.
Bang.
Coach Fi, let's go Knicks, man. Let's go Knicks, bro. Repping Obi. Let's do it. Big dunk contest winner. I think next game's what, Friday? We got Miami.
Friday we got Miami. Let's whoop that ass.
Yeah, what is it? Friday in Miami, and then I'll be in the building on Sunday for the Sixers game. So that'll definitely be cool. I'll do the pregame shoot.
Gonna be in the building.
I'll get the footage with the pregame. Let me know when you go, and I'll see what we could do, man. We'll link it up. But
I'm gonna be in the building for one of those games. I know that. So let's get up, ladies and gentlemen. We will holler at you next week. It's always a pleasure. It's your main man, Coach Fi.
And Danny B, you know what it is. Subscribe, stream, YouTube, Spotify, all that. Catch the morning drives.
Tell your people.
Panda Corner. And enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the week. We're off. We, you know, no basketball. Let's relax a little. Let's kind of use this time to reset. You know what I'm saying?
Meditate and watch Boba Fett.
I like it, man. I like it. Until next time, y'all. Stay
out.
We out.
Orange and blue, coursing through your whole spirit.
Your whole spirit.
That bright lights be hotter than a sauna.
And that's it. Peace. I don't know what happened to the outro. We'll fix that. I'll work on that. I don't know what happened. Should have been good. Anyway, that's it. We out. Peace.